Oracle of Luna is a podcast with me, Bridget Ingalls, as your host. Here we have conversations with real live, present day goddesses who are actively and courageously doing their magical work in the world. Each episode is a bewitching journey with relevant discussions on topics such as Wiccan pagan spirituality, writing, culture, magical practices, art, ritual, and the craft in its many forms.
Merry meet, and welcome to the next incredible Oracle of Luna podcast episode. We have a very special guest today. She is the exceptional Z Budapest, mother of the goddess spirituality movement, and founder of Dianic Wicca, author, activist, visionary witch, and feminist high priestess who wrote the groundbreaking book, The Holy Book of Women's Mysteries. Welcome, Z.
Hello, Bridget. Blessed be. Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. This is such an honor, and I'm really, really excited that you're here today. And we have a lot of questions and I have a lot to unpack here. So let's just jump right in, okay?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So, Z, how did your journey with the goddess spirituality movement begin? How did it all start for you?
It all started back in Budapest when I was born to a woman who was a witch and an artist, and she made her living by creating home altars for peasants who came and bought them, and that's where our money came from. It was a post-war Europe, and nobody had anything to eat, and she actually sold altars for home use for our bread and butter. And she was a very, very interesting person, didn't like anything that was boring. Boring people were banished from the house. And so I grew up wanting to be interesting, outrageous, radical, and show my talents. And that's actually what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. You've had an incredible life and so have contributed so much to Wicca and witchcraft and feminism. So it sounds like your mother, her name was Masika?
Mashika. It's a nickname for Maria. Her name was Maria Silagyi.
Ah.
Bio Porter Mashi.
Yeah, she had
mom.
Yeah, she had a big influence on you, it sounds like.
Totally influence. A single mother. She raised me with her older sister, Titi, and between the two of them, I didn't need any fathers. She married three times, and it didn't matter. Mama was solid, and the men came and went, and it was all understood that we don't count on them.
Yeah. Well, sovereignty.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So so as you came from Hungary to the U.S., where did you land? We know that you studied at Second City in Chicago and were involved in theater.
Very much so. We had the Hungarian Revolution in 1956.
Yes.
A real uprising, something organic that just rose up. And it was led by university students and young workers. And we were the generation that the commies kind of coddled. And we wanted more. We wanted actual freedom, not just pretend that we are freedom. The whole thing about the communists is pretension. It's already theater, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was in a children's dance group, folk dancing, and they ordered us out at election times to raise good vibes on the streets. And if I asked, but who is running for the election? Who's the other guy? And they went, psh. Don't touch that. Don't go there. Because there were never anybody else. It was just one guy, and we pretended that because it's a free election that we actually wanted to come out and do the election. But there was no nobody else running.
Right.
So that blew my mind.
Yeah. So that kind of spurred your activism, your passion for activism?
And the passion for just fairness.
Yes.
My birthday is January 30th, which is the festival of Pax. And Pax is the goddess of peace. And it was a very big deal in Rome. They had three different days when they celebrated Pax. And people just shed the normal clothes that they were with their insignia of power. And they came just the regular humans. And then had a small ritual on the steps of the temple to Pax, and they just reaffirmed that we are all equal.
Yes,
three times in Rome, three times. So that's important for a nation to want to have peace, and they put out this spiritual energy towards it.
Ah, interesting.
I was impressed. Yeah, I thought so. And when I found out I was born on that day, I thought, oh no, this is my mission.
Yeah.
A good mission. So when I came to this country, I did personal things first. I got married. I had two sons. I started studying at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, mostly to know what it takes to write for theater or for movie, because I was already a writer. And I won the one big thing in my life in Hungary as a child was there was a national literature contest. And everybody under 21 could write for it and send in the stuff. And I had a short story, The Table of Amour, which was a social criticism and the social kind of poking fun at grown-ups. Mm-hmm. I wrote when I was 13. And I sent it in, and they called me and they said, well, we really love your story. Did you do it alone? I said, of course. And they said, well, many people here saying that it was a university professor who helped you with it. And no, I said, I'm the daughter of a sculptor. We have artists here. I'm a big reader. I know all about mythology on my own, even though I'm young. And so I got the big prize.
Wow.
They read my story on the radio with a live actor, a real actor. Took 24 minutes, and it was 24 pages. And it was a funny, funny piece. Everybody was laughing. And I was listening to it all by myself, and I started crying. And I thought to myself, why are you crying? This is a great, great moment.
Yes.
Something in me said, you know, it will never happen again. And with that, I really had a big crying, Jack cry, because I believed the little voice inside. And the reason that was because the Hungarian Revolution broke out and I had to escape because the Russians were shooting at us going to school.
With
long distance weapons that they could see who's moving.
And
they could take us out from a long distance.
Terrifying.
Yes, and just for going to school. But then it was really because we were Hungarians. That was our big sin, that we were Hungarians, and they were Russians, and they wanted to kind of sit on us and put their boots on us. And we were the future, the kids. So I walked out, and I was accompanied by the spirit of my grandmother on my mother's side, Granny Ilona, who was a suffragist, and she loved me passionately while she was alive, just passionately. And I felt her all along. I had no problem leaving, just walking away from everything. But what I left behind was my language that I was very good at by that time, my family, those of us who didn't die, because there was starvation and lots of disease after the war.
Yeah.
And then friends. And I thought, oh yeah, what a great adventure. But it turned out, yes, it was a great adventure, but how difficult it was.
Yes.
Emotionally, it was wrecking me, just wrecking. And it took it more good luck happened. I write this up in my stories. All my books have little short stories about my life. I just sprinkled my autobiography in all of my books a little bit. And this I often discuss because this exodus at 16 was the first time I had my fate in my hands. The fate's hands and my hands were the same. And I dared to do this, even though I was a girl and nobody would come with me. My mom had already a toddler. My half-brother was still very young. And she didn't want to go anywhere. She didn't speak languages. She didn't like two languages. She was very much homebound. And my
so when you got to America, the U.S., you studied theater, you had children, and then at a certain point you landed in L.A.
Yes, well.
And in the 70s, right?
Yes, it was an afternoon in 1970 when I just turned 30, and that's the time we get another destiny.
Yes.
Childhood is really officially over by 30. And then you step into your actual calling. What is calling you? And I found out that we had the Vietnam War already raging for 10 years. I had no idea how long my new country was at war. I mean, I didn't see it in Chicago. And that really shook me up. Even before I got to California, I used to go to peace demonstrations. And in New York, I remember one big one on Fifth Avenue. It was totally covered with young people with candles. And it was very moving to see the revolution again, you know.
Yeah.
Country. And it was also affirming in me that, yeah, I should help this one. This is my people.
So right. And the women's liberation movement was happening at the same time.
That I found in L.A. The women's movement was in L.A. They just opened a women's center on Crenshaw, and it was only like 6 months old when I discovered it and I showed up. And it was a tiny little house behind an ice machine. You had to look for it real hard because the ice machine was bigger than the house. And there it was a proper office in there, you know, phones ringing and volunteers. Everybody was volunteering. And to me, that was another moving moment that I could truly identify that these women put down whoever they were and they became revolutionaries because they identified with their own sex.
Yes. And that was your you found your destiny.
Yes, that was. And that put me on the road with a sign, go this way, Z, they need you.
Yes.
And I found out what they needed was they had all kinds of speeches and lots of political petitions and stuff. They didn't have a spirituality. They didn't know about the goddesses. They didn't know nothing about the past of women, what we have done. We did go as far back as the suffragists. And I was very grateful because it was a missing link for me to know that this spirituality was already worked on by Elizabeth Cady Stanton and the 10 women who wrote the Woman's Bible back then.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Matilda Jocelyn Gage, who wrote Church, State, and Woman, or Woman, Church, and State, I think this way.
Mm-hmm.
And banned by the Pope. And it was great. We were all rejoicing because it meant that that is the main artery, the church, the Bible.
Right.
And a lot of these underlying hateful assumptions about women came certified by goddess in a big book that the god supposedly wrote. Well, I told them far deeper goes our own contribution and that we could actually run our country, if we wanted to, according to mother's laws, grandma rules. When you don't kill anyone, when you get skills to settle, differences other than killing the other person.
Yes, matriarchal society.
Yes, yes. A world where females and children are safe, otherwise there'd be no human species.
Right.
You know what happens to species who we need to eat? We eat them and they get extinct. It's a bad thing to do extinction on other species, where the females of that species put out a lot of their energy to continue the life. Mm-hmm. We're like millions of years older than we were. So all these responsibilities started revealing themselves to me, and I got very excited, and I said to myself, these ladies need to know what we had and was taken away, and it's only mythology. Mythology is condensed history, you know?
Yes.
And if you know how to read it, you can see where the history was and how it changed. And I started talking about that. And it was not received very enthusiastically because religion hurt us bad. I mean, they actually burned women alive for accusations of witchcraft. If you knew how to take away somebody's headache, you were a witch and you could be killed for it.
I know. It was horrible. And also, you know, at that time, you were stepping into the women's spirituality movement. You had the women's movement. You had Vietnam War, gay movement. There was so much going on. It was such a potent mix in history. And
yes.
You stepped into that time with your feminist spirituality and your goddess mythology as your guide, and you created a movement on your own, which is fantastic. And
yes.
I wanted to just kind of point out that you started the Susan B. Anthony Coven number one.
Yes. That was started by only six of us from the Women's Center. I just said, enough is enough. I'm not gonna wait any longer. This is the year. Plus, I saw there was LA was filled with all these Far Eastern gurus and all kinds of Kundalini yoga and Yogi Bhajan and this yogi and that yogi.
Right, because it was fashionable with the Beatles.
Yeah, well, but the others not so much connected to Beatles, but they were also declaring themselves to be, you know, very magical people.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
I said, white women, what are you doing? What are you doing? White people at all are not in the Bible. Did that occur to any of you? Why white, our entire white skinned people are not in the Bible. And then here we are discriminating against our own mothers and sisters, and their poverty affects the babies coming down. So, heaven's sakes, wake up. Stop praying to male gods. And they did. I said, in order to enter this new consciousness, stop reading men for a year and a day. That's all. A year and a day, don't read anything written by men, spoken about men, don't worship any men, any male gods. Stop it. Just put an end to it and discover who you are.
Yes, and divine femininity.
Exactly. And allow to have a breath. Your spirit can come out and take a good deep breath of the California goodness and put our mark as important and believe it yourself.
Yeah, and so you were at Mama's Cafe in Malibu. Yeah,
that's right. We wrote the holy book at Mama's Cafe.
That must have been really exciting.
Because what went into that book is what we practiced. And
yes.
Before we would forget what we have done, we wrote it down. And I said, it's going to come out of us, you know. We don't need to read or practice anything men written for us. That's not valid. We have our own holiness. We will pour it out and spread that around like honey. And that was very attractive. And the women heard me. Plus, there was a very first gathering of goddess-oriented women in Boston at the University of Massachusetts there. And that was the first time we were honored to be in a place of substance, you know?
Yeah.
And we have arrived here and we are teaching. This is important. And it was very important. And the interest was very keen. And it fitted very well with the anti-war generation. And the fact that
And people were searching for different types of spirituality.
Yes, they were. And then finally, I started feeding. No, first of all, I discovered Merlin Stone's book, When God Was a Woman.
Oh, yes.
Oh, when I saw that book, I just fainted with happiness. And I invited her to stay with me. And she came, took the gray bus because she would not fly. And and so I come to the gray bus to pick her up. And there is this lady, long red hair down to her knees, sitting on the ground, leaning against the wall, kind of could not determine how old she was, but she acted young, looked youngish. And I just took a chance. I said, Merlin, is that you? And she said, yeah, And she was very friendly. And I took her home and we delighted her by just pouring out our hearts how we needed her, because I've got the rituals, I've got the genetic traditions that I got from my family, but we didn't have the ethnic group, names of the goddesses and the rituals and how it was universal.
Yes.
Merlin brought us the world. And she gave it to us, researched. She hitchhiked all over Turkey. Can you imagine?
Oh, wow. Such a different world than it is now.
But even then, it was dangerous, very dangerous. Yeah. And I said, oh, please, let's just raise money for next time you go anywhere. Yeah. Because we had the problem in LA. Hitchhikers were getting killed, especially.
Yeah, it's very dangerous. But so getting back to the Susan B. Anthony Kevin number one, you had Starhawk, you had so many different famous women who came.
Starhawk was not yet there.
Oh, okay.
In everything Starhawk did, I'm 5 years ahead of that.
Okay.
It was elsewhere. She was not in LA yet.
Okay.
But when she arrived, she did find me. She did come to one Sabbath that I appreciated that she did. And I was very glad that she includes both sexes. I didn't want to. That is someone else, you know?
Right.
Because women only was essential to me, that the women have something. Something belongs to us that can be taken away. And even
There's enough clubs for men.
More than enough. And I felt it's my job. She was not that keen on women only as I was. And they thought, oh, she's a lesbian. She probably invented all that. No, women's mysteries existed. I just unearthed it along with Merlin Stone. And also, may I say, one man I would read and will be very grateful for is Robert Graves, The White Goddess.
Yes.
There it was, the culture. Our culture, our alphabet, how we already wrote the hymns. And then it just took us even further back in time. And suddenly it was all there for thousands of years. We ran our species according to mother laws, because that's what it takes to make a species survive.
So, how is feminist witchcraft relevant in 2023? How is it relevant now?
Okay, it is relevant because it's again in danger to be taken away. Not only that, but they want to take away the woman-identified woman, which is a consciousness. Mm-hmm. They want to talk us out of being conscious of who we are, and that's the ultimate treasure. If you do that, you can destroy people easily. The Russians did try to do that to Hungarians. We were forced to learn their language and their leaflet talk and
It created a cultural amnesia.
Yes, yes. And I knew how we fought back. We fought back with humor. Hungarians had jokes every day, new jokes. And you can't go to jail or to Siberia if they catch you.
Yes.
It was so special. You took the bus, somebody was telling a joke, always political. And everybody.
So some of that exists, some of that fear and political suffering and displacement exists now.
It does. And that's why it's always, as long as there's patriarchy still firm, and note how we are attacked now just for being women. It's like being attacked just to be Hungarian. To me, it's the same thing. And we have to fight back with culture because we are better, more talented, more beautiful, more connected, and more individual. So,
hail goddess.
Yes.
So, Bridget,
you carry the name of a goddess who is a prophet. And you carry, are you Irish in any way?
No, and my mother named me that. I have that's my real name. You know, we're like German and Austrian and Dutch background. So I and Danish. So I'm not sure where she got the name, but now I love it.
We have different versions of it. Hungarian is Brigitta.
Yeah.
And it's a name that is all over the map.
Yeah.
Well, this was another way we resisted. We named our children after goddesses.
Yes. Absolutely. And we remember who they are.
And then the Catholics came and said, no. You have to have some names for your children that's in the Bible.
Right.
And that happened to me. I was only 3 months old. They took me finally. My father didn't want me to christen. No. He said, she will find her own religion, said my prophetic atheist father. And then my grandmother, big Catholic and virgin worshiper, said, but why? Why is that? And they said, well, the name you want to give her, Emesha, is not in the Bible. And my grandmother said, we're Hungarians. We're not Jewish. We're not living there. This is no, there's no European in that book.
And Z, getting back to the women's spirituality movement, I just wanted to kind of touch base on a few things before we end here. What is the Women's Spirituality Forum? Because you are the founder and director of that. What can you tell us briefly what that is?
Yes. It is a cultural arm of the goddess. We create experiences, gatherings, festivals, books. We have poetry. It's a cultural arm, and we embrace everything that comes out around the goddess. And we put it on stage. We put it in the woods. I have a place I rent for our biannual big celebration of life and ourselves.
It's called the Goddess Festival International?
Yes, it is in La Honda.
Okay, and that's in California near Santa Cruz, right?
Yes, it is. It's a little bit north.
Yeah, in the Bay Area. I'm from the Bay Area, so I'm
familiar. Not in the Bay Area, not quite.
Well, South Bay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And when is that coming up this year?
This is gonna be had online this year, early in the winter, and the next one is going to be normal time in September when the weather is guaranteed fine. And it will be, again, the same place in the woods. Wonderful camp, comfortable camp. Mm-hmm. Hot water showers.
Nice.
Food, we don't have to. So
that'll be in 2024 or?
2023.
2023. This September. Oh, 2024. Okay. So people who are interested in goddess spirituality, I know some of my listeners are not familiar or they're younger witches and they want to find out more about who you are and goddess spirituality. So is there a website for women's spirituality?
Yes, there is. Zbudapest.com.
Okay.
That's where we try to put everything.
Okay.
I'm not too good on the technology, so when I have good help, it is fine and smooth when I don't have help, we all go and try to remedy it. But I also like to say that I read and counsel women one-on-one on the phone. And
okay. So they get in touch with you on your via by your website?
Yes.
Okay. And then there's also you have a new book out. Do you want to chat a little bit about that?
Yes. My book, The Aquarian Holy Book of Women's Mysteries, because we're going into the Aquarian age slowly but surely. With my mother's art and everything.
That's fabulous.
Art. Yes. So it's a mother-daughter togetherness. It's really a special book. It's beautiful. And you can get it ebook. It's on my website.
Okay.
And order it in real, you can get a real life book in your hands.
It's
substantial and nice and big and
That's exciting. And you have several other books. I think you've written 12 or 13 other books.
Yes.
So
yes, I've been busy. I mean, I didn't want to stop until I gathered a full culture to present.
Awesome.
Say, here, young'uns, absorb this.
Yes.
Whatever part hums at you and listen to yourself and know that you have at least three destinies in a lifetime. And the first one is from 1 till 30, then 30 to 60, and 60 till 90. That could be, the middle of it is most important. That's where the main focus of your life. Why am I here? Why did I come? It's explained there.
Yeah.
And then the last one is the harvest. Harvest, mm-hmm. Like I'm going to harvest my apples after this interview. So harvesting is equally important with the other two, and then you share it. You teach it, you pass it on. And I was always very glad to see when people found me and they said,
Well, thank you. And I just want to say that it's been such an honor chatting with you. And I thank you so much for all your visionary, witchcraft feminist teachings, your magical offerings, your books, and your spirit. And I just wanted to congratulate you on your new book, and it's been a real honor chatting with you today, Z. And for all my listeners, I encourage you to go to Z's website. And do you want to tell them your website again?
ZBudapest.com.
Okay. And then just listen to her and carry on the goddess way.
And you can write to me, zbudapest@gmail.com.
Yeah, and communicate with Z.
After me, I answer on Gmail, I can handle. That's the best part of it. Don't text me because I resent it. My fingers don't ever hit it properly. And then it's boom, boom, boom. It's even more. So that makes me feel poor.
Well, thank you so much, Z. I really I enjoyed it. It's been a delightful conversation with you, and blessed be.
Blessed be, and may the new generation be even more fierce and more brave than we have been. We have been all that. And I wanted to share with you something that I didn't write. Amelia Earhart wrote a poem about to be brave, to have courage. And if you have a moment for that, it's short. Can I?
Just a few minutes. Uh-huh.
Just a few minutes. It's over here. Okay, come on. Anyway, in the meantime.
Well, we have to end here, but maybe we'll have another conversation another time, another podcast.
Lovely.
Okay. Thank you so much, Z. And blessed be, and thank you for all your gifts and everything you've offered to society and women over the years. And I look forward to chatting with you again.
Please invite me again.
I will. All right. Have a wonderful day.
Beauty.
Blessed be.
Blessed be. Bye.
Bye-bye.